This is Mythical.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Almonds don't have nipples, Greg, but can you still milk them? This is a hot dog as a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And Nicole, today we are taking on one of the hottest topics we have ever taken on. We are taking
on
nut milk. Spicy. Or is it nut juice? Nicole, what are your thoughts on nut juice?
Nut juice? Okay. I don't like it being called blank milk, like oat milk, almond milk, pistachio milk, cashew milk. No.
Wait, you're anti.
I'm anti. I don't like it.
Why not? Explain yourself.
I'm going to. Give me some time, bro.
No. Tell all the nut farmers of America why you hate their nut juice, because they deserve to know.
I don't hate it. I don't like it being called blank milk. Milk is milk, and that's it. I think it should be called blank beverage, oat beverage, almond beverage, flax beverage.
Like
and
almond
And that's how
aid.
I feel about that.
Okay,
no,
but,
not,
but why?
No, almond aid. Almond aid. Doesn't aid mean you have to put like sugar and water in it?
That's what I figure. Because like lemonade is lemon juice plus sugar and water. But what do you think milk means? Like what does milk mean to you? This sounds like the start of a weird essay you'd write in the fifth grade.
It would be milk is a lactation secretion from a mammal.
What about penguin milk, Nicole? Penguin milk exists. Surely you must not be erasing the hard work of all the penguin mothers out
there.
Why are you anti-feminist?
What is actually penguin milk, though?
penguin milk, that's a bit of a diversion, but penguin milk is, they call it crop milk. It is a secretion from a penguin that is used to feed the young that some people consider to be a form of milk. Because there's my point is there's a lot of different definitions of milk and a lot of things that milk actually means. So a lot of people think it is just a lactic blah, blah, blah secretion from a mammal. And if you look at like the Oxford Learner's Dictionary, for instance, the first entry they have, the white liquid produced by cows, goats, and some other animals. Also, not just some other animals. They're like every other animal. Don't put cows and goats on a pedestal. You can drink pig milk. It just tastes really bad. Anyways, as food for their young and used as a drink by humans. Houmst ever, Nicole. Houmst ever.
Houmst?
If you skip down to definition number three, a white liquid produced by or made from plants. So are you just telling me that you, Nicole,
when did Oxford put this new number three definition into the mix? Do you know that?
They don't have an actual date, but I assume it was much later because this is a discussion that's come more to the forefront recently as American milk consumption declines, for sure. But that said, like, a dictionary doesn't create the meanings itself, right? It is a response to how people are already using the words.
So what if the liquid isn't white? No, I'm mad about this. It says a white liquid produced by or made from plants. You ever had pistachio milk before? That stuff's green.
I've actually never had pistachio milk, but wait, I do love alternative nut milks. Not alternative milks, but alternatives to almond milk. Also, why come there's no peanut milk?
I don't know, but it sounds delicious. Josh, make peanut milk. You'll make millions. So,
another thing I find really fascinating about the milk debate is that a lot of people take the dictionary definition, even if they're people like you who are milk purists and they don't agree with the fact that it can be made from plants, whatever, that the etymology of milk actually has nothing to do with mammals, right? The etymology of milk, it comes from a High German word, melg, that's been around for well over 1,000 years, that literally just means to rub or wipe off. Also, there's a lot of sexual innuendo in all this
with
the juice and the rubbing, and I'm sorry, but that is literally what it means.
I need an adult.
Like, to milk, right?
Okay. I mean, sure.
Like, milk doesn't have to refer to, even if you want to go purism on the language, because that's where a lot of this backlash is coming from, right? There's a lot of people who are like, I don't like when things change. Milk means cow titty juice, and now you're saying it can come from almonds. I don't like that change. It's like, well, almond milk is something that has been used and actually documented as the term almond milk since the 1200s and probably even earlier. That's just the records that we have from it. You look in any medieval cookbook, Nicole. Nicole, how many medieval cookbooks you reading these days?
I have like four in rotation. Never finished
it.
No, but let me just tell you,
milk in a ton.
I understand that, but at the same time, it's not milk though. It's not. It's not. For me, it's not.
You're saying that you would have gone back to the 1200s and you would have gone to one of these ancient cookbook authors and you would have been like,
yeah,
that ain't milk, you idiot. But back then, they had no problem with it, right? So you would have been the crazy one.
I don't care. So what? I'm the crazy one in modern times, too.
They would have thought you were a witch. Nicole, they would have thrown you in a river. They would have burned you as a witch.
That's fine.
Also, I think, honestly, if you went anywhere back then as a Jew, I think your fate probably wouldn't have been too good.
That's for another podcast, Josh.
No. I'm going to bring it up now. Do you remember?
Go ahead.
We were shooting that Christmas episode, and it was like, I wonder what Jews were up to in the 1600s in England. And then somebody Googled it, and they were like, oh, here we have expulsion of Jews. And we're like, when was that? They were like, well, there were like 9 of them dating over 800 years. And we're like, ah, shoot.
Oh,
yeah, that
man.
Makes sense.
But no, I mean, I don't know. There's something. I mean, are you a milk drinker? Do you like, are you the kind of guy who like pours himself a glass of milk?
I didn't used to be until Julia and I moved in together. I would only keep like maybe a pint or a quart of whole milk in my fridge for cooking purposes. Mm-hmm. And then anything that I was actually drinking, which was probably just for protein shakes. But I do love like a nice glass of iced milk with my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But I would use almond milk for that. Solely for the fact that, you know, more and more research comes out and suggests, like, I don't know, maybe drinking milk all the time ain't that good for you. Gives you some weird poops. Maybe inflammation is a thing. I don't know. Tom Brady don't drink it, and he's pretty good at football. And so I switched to drinking almond milk.
He also doesn't eat nightshade vegetables.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, Tom Brady's idea of a cheat meal, they asked him in an interview what his favorite cheat meal was, and he was like, vegan sushi. And it's like, oh, God, this man has
really
no
depressing
pleasure in life other than torching zone defenses.
And being married to Giselle Bundchen.
And being married to Giselle Bundchen.
I feel like that's pretty pleasurable. I don't know. She's a supermodel.
He kisses his children on the lips, too. I know.
It's a Brazilian thing. It's nice. It's sweet.
Is that a Brazilian thing? I don't know.
I think it's also like a good parent thing, like kissing your kids on the lips. I actually talked about this with my friends like 2 days ago, got into some really interesting territory, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But what I am going to get into is, would you consider Julia to be a dairy queen? Like, she likes a lot of dairy in the house.
Yes, Julia is indeed a dairy queen. And
yeah,
I kind of famously don't love dairy. I don't love, I don't know, even cheese. Like, I'm not a huge, huge cheese guy. But now I will occasionally. She keeps 2% in the house, and I don't want to double stock on whole milk and 2%. So I've been cooking with 2%, which sucks.
Yeah.
But a nice cold glass of 2% milk on ice is a delight.
Yeah. Whole milk is like really, really good. Like just
it's
a glass
thick
of whole milk. Do you ever, like, I need to know this. Do you drink milk out of the carton?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. All the time. I don't let Julia see me, though.
You hide.
That's the thing.
The
you have to hide your true self from your partner sometimes. What are your milk consumption habits? Do you you love almond milk.
Well,
I see
let me
you
tell
drink
you what
it.
Let me tell you what my problem is. I am very lactose intolerant, like capital L lactose intolerant. So drinking whole milk is, or just drinking milk, even if it's fat-free, 2% skim, doesn't matter. Drinking a glass of milk is like a death sentence for me. Like, I'm not going to feel good the next day. But if I pop like 2 lactate, I'm like chilling. I like drink as much milk as I want. But like, I like dairy. Love me some cheese. Love me some, what are some other dairy? Yogurt. Just bought some yogurt.
I eat a lot of yogurt. You see me eat a grotesque amount of yogurt.
But let me tell you, I don't mind things like cashew cheese, things like cashew sour cream, things like, I don't know, what are some other, like coconut yogurt. Like, those things don't bother me. Like, that's fine.
Wait, hold up. But why? Because cashew cheese and almond milk are the same relationship to the original dairy alternative.
You are completely right. I think there's something about calling it milk that really pees me oh, like super pees me oh.
Do you have a lot of like nostalgia for milk? Because I feel okay, let me take you back to 1993, Nicole. 1993.
That's when I was born.
That's the year you were born, right?
That's when I was born. I don't remember anything. Go to like 96.
Okay, but the commercial still the commercial still ran for a while. It was the original Got Milk campaign commercial. Like, you and I grew up in school with Got Milk posters everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, they were just, you know, given out. You had to take a milk at school lunch. Like, they forced you to take milk,
yeah,
which was an absolute trip. And the original Got Milk commercial, which I totally forgot until I was researching this podcast, and then I found out an incredible fact about it. It was a person calls into a radio station, they're eating a peanut butter sandwich, and they ask him a trivia question. Who shot Alexander Hamilton to win $10,000?
Aaron Burr!
Nicole, but thank you for ruining the surprise for everybody. But the guy's mouth is so dry of peanut butter and bread, and he goes, Aaron Burr! Aaron Burr! And Nicole, can you guess what the commercial says? They say,
Got Milk.
Got Milk. And do you know who directed that?
Tell me.
Michael freaking Bay.
The explosion guy?
The explosion guy, the Transformers
guy. Was there an explosion?
No. What an incredible trivia fact that Michael Bay directed the original Got Milk Aaron Burr commercial. but the point is, you and I, like, we grew up inundated on the idea that milk is a good thing to drink. And Nicole,
yes.
Do you know what historical event this all goes back to?
What?
World War II, baby.
I knew it. Tell us about it, Josh.
Okay, but like, I'll keep it quick. You know, Great Depression happened, right? In like, you know, the 30s started in 1929. And then in the 30s, there was like a huge effort to mechanize farm production, to basically be like, look, America is a nation of farmers. We need to modernize all of our stuff. There was a rural campaign to get electricity on all the farms, and they did that. And then that basically allowed them to have a bunch of, electric teat suckers to be able to mechanize and make the milk production more efficient. Not only that, they were able to have electricity to have cooling tanks on farms. So milk production in America explodes in the 1940s. And then hilariously, I mean, also not hilariously, World War II is not the funniest subject, but also so many farms.
But it's like your favorite.
It's so good. Read the book Taste of War by Lizzie Collingham. Really fantastic. And at the time, war across Europe was absolutely destroying all the farms and all that stuff. So American milk production was absolutely massive. They were powdering milk, condensing it, evaporating it, sending it out to troops, etc. But literally since then, we have been on a 70-year milk consumption decline in America. And then also over the last 20 years since like 2002, we've seen that decline like 30%, which is the sharpest decline. So like our parents were like, you know, probably raised on milk. I mean, your parents, you know, weren't born in America. I don't know what their relationship with just slamming milk is. I drink a lot of Doug.
Oh my god, I currently have so much Doux in my fridge, and I want to smack David with all the Doux bottles because I hate that stuff in my house.
Wait, does David drink Doux? Also, tell the folks what Doux is.
Doux is like a fermented yogurt drink, actually featured on a GMM episode once before, and it's like a fermented yogurt drink. It's really good with like a little bit of dried mint, maybe even throw some dried dill in there, but like it just doesn't cut it for me, man. Like, I don't know, it's just not pleasant for me. Sometimes, like, you know, if I ever go to Iran, like, I'll drink the Doux in Iran. You know what I mean? Like, but I'm not gonna
drink
it. Is it
sweet or savory? Also, so it's fizzy too, right?
It's
like a fizzy, liquidy yogurt drink.
Savory yogurt.
Heck yeah, dude.
And some people are really into it. I personally am not. But David, if you're hearing this, no more Doux in the house, babe, please.
Dude, come over to my place. Bring some dried mint. Let's have a Doux party. But no, I mean, like, did your parents like push milk on you from a young age or something? Because that was a big thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, we always have milk in the house. We always have Horizon vitamin D infused whole milk. Mm-hmm. And then for me, I always had lactate 2%. And for my dad always had rice milk because, you know, he has his like stomach sensitivities and stuff. So I grew up with those three milks in my house constantly. And then whenever I started, you know, making my own money and buying my own things, I would like say, hey guys, here's some almond milk, like here's some oat milk. And they were like, it's okay. But like dairy, my house loves dairy. Like we're just dairy people.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. It's funny that your dad was drinking rice milk for a long time because, like, almond milk didn't start exploding. It was always there on the market. I remember soy milk was a big thing, which, again, soy milk is actually a very traditional product from China that's, like, well over 1,000 years old.
Correct.
That is very delicious outside of its milk context. But almond milk had this huge explosion, and now there's this huge, quote-unquote, alternative milk explosion with, like, the flax, the hemp, the oats. Oatly is really a delightful product.
Hemp milk. Hemp, out of all of the milk alternatives, hemp milk is my all-time favorite.
I thought it was called hemp drink.
Okay, hemp beverage. Is that better? I mean, but also beverage doesn't... But let me tell you what also the issue is with the word beverage. Beverage has a connotation where it's like a light drink, you know what I mean? Like yeah, a beverage.
It's a refresher.
Like, it's a refresh. Exactly. Nothing about milk is a refresher. Milk is heavy. Milk is like dusky. Milk is like milk, you know?
What is inside you that wants to protect milk? Is it like its application in cooking? Because that's one thing that I will
Maybe.
Say that I like pretty actively hate about this is that you will someone will say, hey, this recipe didn't work. And you're like, did you measure everything correctly? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, well, what happened? They're like, well, I used almond milk instead of whole milk. And it's like, well,
it's like,
that's
oh,
not
no,
even
duh.
Close to the same.
Yeah, not
so
even
So that's
close.
Been something annoying. You can't really cook with almond milk like you
yeah.
would.
Maybe that's it. Like I like you could totally like sub out like cashew cream and like use like, you know, like cashew sour cream instead of like regular sour cream, I'm sure. But like yeah, I think I have this weird protection, this weird like defense for milk. Like I want to defend milk and have it only be called
I don't think milk needs it. Nicole, milk does not need your defending. Do you want to know why
know.
Milk doesn't need your defending?
Because they have
because
millions
they got...
of dollars in funding from people.
No, no, no.
I know
not
that.
Millions. Not millions.
Lobbyists.
Nicole, 43,
lobbyists.
2016, $43 billion in dairy industry subsidies. Nicole, what do you think our cheese surplus is at now?
I don't know, but I want to dive in.
1.4 billion pounds. We have 1.4 billion
much extra
pounds of cheese.
We have that
yes.
much extra cheese?
We have.
Where is
Nicole,
it?
Nicole, we have to
Wisconsin?
Fill caves. They fill caves with all of the extra cheese because America has subsidized. And again, all this going back to post-depression, World War II, and then just continuing because, of course, all the subsidies during World War II for food production and also post-depression went to a small handful of farms comparatively. So now there's these massive things and they got to feed them $46 billion, you know, just to keep them alive. And now we got 1.4 billion pounds of cheese. And so I'm over here. I don't want to protect milk. I want to destroy milk. I mean,
what?
I know there's a lot of people whose livelihoods depend on it and like, you know, mad respect to dairy farmers. But like at this point, we're literally sucking on the teat. We're sucking on the milk teat so much. And we've just seen natural, you know, consumerism of milk decline that I'm over here being like, hey, if people want almond milk to drink as a creamy white beverage, then we should give it to them. And it should be called milk because milk just means to rub off.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What about, like, other mammal milks?
I dig on... Oh, yo, camel milk.
Yeah,
camel milk
seen...
is fire.
Yeah, camel milk, goat milk. Freaking, what are
goat
some other
fine.
Mammals?
It's got a little grassy twang.
What are some
well,
other
I told you, I'm sure I've I mean, I've mentioned the pig milk story, right? Where I tried to write a story about why we don't eat pig milk, and they were like, tastes like crap. And I was like, okay, maybe.
First of all, you drink milk. You don't eat it.
Whatever, dude. I eat milk.
If you're eating your milk, you have to throw it away because it's probably expired.
That's just ricotta cheese. That's all I'm doing is I'm making ricotta.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so you don't believe, you have a nostalgic fondness for milk. You believe that the term milk should be protected. But do you think that, like, the government at this point should step in and tell Blue Diamond Almonds, hey, you gotta stop calling it milk?
Yeah, because just calling it, I bet if I ran to my fridge right now and I pulled out my oat milk, also I don't have any, like, real milk in my fridge right now, which is so weird. If I pulled out my oat milk, it would just say creamy oat beverage. I think that's what my Trader Joe's one says. It says creamy oat beverage. And that's fine.
Is it really?
That's Gucci, yeah.
Wait, is it actually? Dang, I kind of want you to do it now.
Can I run?
A lot of these products. Yeah, run. Nicole, run.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, Nicole's running to her fridge, so I'm going to run down a series of lawsuits against the Blue Diamond Almond Company. This is hilarious because I was originally researching. There's one famous lawsuit that basically said that Blue Diamond should have to use the term imitation in front of milk to be called milk. And then the Ninth Circuit court was literally like, that's stupid because people don't expect almond milk to have the same nutritional makeup as milk. Go ahead, Nicole.
Look at it. It says non-dairy oat beverage. And it's fine. And it's good.
Oh, my God.
And it's delicious. And you know what? I just don't. Listen, can you hear it? I gotta buy some more. Yeah, I'm telling you, this does not turn me off to drinking it. If it said oat milk, it'd be fine. But it says oat beverage, which is more accurate. Non-dairy oat beverage.
Wait, that's incredible.
Yeah, this makes sense. I'm telling you.
I'm kind of shook by that because my thing is, I'd be curious to see, like, sales numbers, right? If you called something, say, non-dairy almond beverage versus almond milk, I'd be curious to see how those products sold, because I imagine the reason they call it almond milk is, like, yeah, they're trying to be a direct substitute. Oh, Nicole's chugging the oat beverage now.
Good.
Oh, my God, now I want some.
Taking handfuls of my oat beverage.
Okay. Wait, hold up. So I was researching the lawsuit against Blue Diamond that said that they had to use the term imitation in front of milk, and then the court struck that down. But in the process of that, I found, like, five other lawsuits against Blue Diamond.
And
so as much as, like, I don't think, you know, milk needs our protection so much, the almond milk industry seems to be a little bit shady. All right, so check this out. So 2018 was the original class action case. Plaintiff Cynthia Painter alleged the company should have to use the term imitation milk because it doesn't contain equal nutritional value to dairy milk, which is interesting, right? Dairy milk has a lot of fat, a lot of protein, and vitamin D it was enriched with. And so this, I don't know, makes a little bit of sense, but it was dismissed because, and I quote, almond milk does not involve literally substituting inferior ingredients for those found in dairy milk, and they are, quote, two distinct food products that have different nutritional values.
Absolutely.
Which makes sense. Because you're thinking, like almonds have protein and fat in them, so you're thinking that, you know, you milk a bunch of almonds, you get a lot of the protein and fat.
Sure, but at the same time, it doesn't equate to the same. Also,
no,
perfect
it doesn't,
example,
it doesn't
like how you said about baking, how you said about like baking and cooking and stuff like that. Like, it is not a substitute good. It's not.
No, I agree entirely. It's a different beverage, but milk just kind of means creamy white thing. But then this is the lawsuit that kind of messed me up a little bit. So 2015, there's another class action against Blue Diamond as well as Silk Almond Milk because their milk was only 2% almonds. So, like, every almond milk recipe out there calls for, like, probably, like, a 15 to 20% almonds by weight distribution. You ever look at the ingredient labels of, like, almond milk? And, like, look, the oat milk's probably different because oats are really cheap. Almonds are pretty damn expensive. But I hate almond milk that has a ton of thickener in it. So it'll be, like, sunflower lecithin or carrageenan, which, fun fact, carrageenan was used as sexual lubricant in ancient Japan. But I digress.
You told me that a few days ago.
Yeah, yeah. These things just kind of come up at work anytime carrageenan comes up. So, like, that's a little bit wild that they're literally using 2% almonds and then just thickening it with carrageenan. And then 2021, the most recent lawsuit, Blue Diamond had to pay out $2.6 million for misrepresenting the vanilla flavoring in their products because they're using artificial. And then there was a 2018 lawsuit. Blue Diamond settles for $9 million for misleading use of the term all natural on packaging.
Wow.
So the more I think about it, I don't know if I want to be protecting the almond milk industry out here either, because there's a lot of stuff. They're getting canceled left and right.
Listen, milk is screwed up. Let's be honest here, too. Like, I know almonds are screwed up, but milk is screwed up, too, you know, with all the veganism and all of the animal abuse and stuff going on in these farms. Like, I understand there's no real victor. There's no real winner. At the end of the day, what we're arguing is if almond milk should be called milk, if oat milk should be called milk, if soy milk should be called milk. I just don't think so. They're not substitute goods. They both serve a purpose. Have you ever had a bowl of cereal with an alternative milk? It's disgusting.
No, it's not. Wait, I actively prefer.
Ew. Ew, what?
I prefer. Okay, do you remember the first time you had almond milk?
Sure.
Where were you? That's going to be my new pickup line at a bar, even though I'm in a
happy
relationship.
You're like married.
I like the idea. I know. I just like the idea of having a pickup line.
Hey, Toots, remember the first time you had almond milk?
Well, I was at a party a long time ago, and a guy came up to me and just said, hey, what's your favorite terrorist attack? And I had one. I was
Which
like,
one?
Om Shinrikyo Tokyo Subway Sarin gas attack. What's yours? And he was like, whoa, didn't expect that. So anyways, where were you the first time you had almond milk?
I'm pretty sure I was like 13. Well, it was specifically almond milk or any sort of alternative milk?
Let's say alternative milk.
Well, I had my dad's rice milk whenever I ran out of my own milk and I put it in my cereal and I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
It was sweetened with vanilla and I didn't really like it.
What kid doesn't like that?
I didn't like it. I have had discerning taste for many a year, Josh. My palate has been this expansive for a while.
I was the opposite. I remember experiencing the same thing as you. I was like sleeping over at my buddy Chad Rosine's house and his mom, Leanna Rosine. Shout out Leanna, lovely woman. She busted out the Blue Diamond chocolate almond milk.
Uh-huh.
And I put that in like a bowl of cornflakes. And my God, I was blown away. I didn't even see it as this is a milk alternative. It was like, this is an entirely separate beverage and product that's really, really, really delicious. And also another opportunity to get more sugar in your body. So now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I don't think almond milk should be called milk.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I came in here thinking that I was a radical milk exclusionist. No, a radical milk inclusionist. What's the name of my political party?
I don't know. It's yours. No one else has it.
But now I'm like, maybe we need to abandon the term milk altogether. Maybe there's room for almond beverage. Like, you busted out that non-dairy oat beverage. Maybe we should try and just completely dissociate from the term milk.
Yeah. As a consumer, if it said milk, it wouldn't bother me. But it says beverage and it defines it perfectly. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, if it says milk, fine. Like, whatever. Like, I just don't prefer it. But it's fine. It's a beverage. It's a non-dairy blank beverage. And I think that's the perfect descriptor for almond, oat, rice, hemp, soy, coconut, whatever milk. I think it makes sense.
So you're, like, not even saying that necessarily from a protection of the brand of capital M milk, but mm-hmm. almost like, let's honor these nut beverages, these nut juices, these Nutterades for what they are.
Nutterade? That's like weird.
By
that
Josh's
weird.
Nutterade. It's got electrolytes, Nicole. Don't laugh.
I hate you so much.
We're going to sell Nutterade on the Mythical Store.
Yeah, you got a Hit bag of illegal chips and Nutterade. Yeah, a bag of Blowfish chips and Nutterade. Real original, Josh.
God.
I think I was just saying I was protecting milk just to say I was protecting milk because you put it into my brain and you're really good at doing that to me. But like, no, I'm not here to protect milk. I just think they are not substitute goods. And people like to, have you ever had a coffee with almond milk? Ew.
Yeah.
It separates. It gets nasty. Mm-mm.
It separates. It like it's separates. Nasty. It comes grainy. Oat milk does the same thing depending on like how hot your coffee is or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's another thing where I used to put almond milk in my coffee and it just kind of sucked. And then when I moved in with Jules and we had, we were stocking regular dairy milk in the house, what a game changer. I thought I didn't like milk in my coffee. I love milk in my coffee, Nicole. Mm-hmm. Two Splenda, one milk. What a delight.
Yeah.
What a delight.
I can't
Maybe I love
do
milk.
It that much. I mean, I can't do it that much. I mean, I can't drink milk that often. I can't. I would love to, but my body just doesn't allow it. But yeah, milk is dank. And you know what? Almond milk is dank whenever it's used in an appropriate way. Soy milk is delicious when it's done appropriately. Coconut milk, sign me up. I love coconut milk.
Man, you ever had the Chinese donuts dipped in like fresh soy milk?
Oh, yeah. I forgot what it's called, but yes,
is
I have.
Is it Yutiao?
Yutiao. Yeah, it's Yutiao.
Is it?
I've had it before.
Yeah, that stuff's absolutely very delicious.
Very, very good.
We need to, maybe we should just start disassociating from the term milk altogether. We can appreciate milk. I certainly appreciate milk. I've grown in my appreciation of milk ever since moving in with a literal dairy queen. But also, yeah, maybe they're nut beverages. Maybe they're Nutterades.
They're non-dairy.
What's your favorite nut milk, by the way? Have you ever had any nut milk that like really stuck in your head?
Well, I used to work at like a cafe chocolate store hybrid, and I used to make my own really bomb almond milk.
Ooh, the homemade stuff?
Yeah, I'm good at making like homemade nut milks. Like I used to do a combination of almond, cashew, and hazelnut, and it was really good.
Girl.
Yeah, I would make a hot chocolate with it, a chocolat chaud or whatever. Chocolat chaud.
Chocolat chaud.
Chocolat chaud.
Tu parles français comme une really vache espagnole.
Can I tell you? No, you are a Mexican cow, Josh.
Spanish cow. A Spanish cow, Nicole.
Whatever. but for like baking, flax milk is incredible for baking.
Yeah.
Like if you want to make like a bread pudding, do it with flax milk. It's really good.
My favorite Nutterade is macadamia. I like the macadamia Nutterade. It tastes good.
I'm not rich enough to have macadamia Nutterade.
Oh, wait. Can we speak about the last thing that I truly bought into the office on our quote-unquote research budget? Do you remember what it was? Where I dropped it on the table and I was like, guys, we all got to try this because it exists.
No, it's been a while. Tell me.
It was almond nog. It was Blue Diamond, non-dairy, almond-based eggnog, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever drank. It is pure carrageenan, and it is pure ancient Japanese sex lube, just thickening up that nog, and God made Lord have mercy on the people who created that. We should sue them. We should sue them for that. Screw this podcast, Nicole.
I'm not interested in suing anybody right now.
Why? That's the cottage industry. That's how people make money. You sue Subway because you don't think their meatballs are made of meat. You sue almond nog because nog shouldn't be made from almonds.
I believe that's called an ambulance chaser, right? Someone who just like looks for lawsuits. Yeah.
Call the law offices of Anity and share if you have any wild food claims you want to bring against, I don't know, Arby's. Let's take them down.
Yeah, we're going to get our bar exams in like, what, like 12 months? 13
How
months?
Curly are their curly fries? Really? I got a straight fry.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casserole.
All right, first up, we got at Ty Lavongsa. There is no need to wash/clean your chicken before cooking it. You're literally cooking it. Yeah, it's like technically true. And also, technically speaking, washing your chicken is like dangerous, I guess. You're splashing salmonella around your kitchen. But like also, if you have a deep set sink, then like what are you splashing salmonella around your sink? That's where salmonella should be. You clean it with soap. I don't take anything too seriously when people are like, washing your chicken is going to give your family diseases. I don't know. Do what you want. There's a lot of like different cultural traditions in terms of like soaking your chicken in vinegar water, which actually makes it taste pretty good. And a lot of this comes from, you know, I don't know, pre-refrigeration cooking techniques, which I think are really important to be passed down. Some people wash chicken in lemon juice and then rinse that off, which is just makes it taste
tender.
Real good.
Yeah. Also, the acid tenderizes it.
This is like whatever you do in your own home. I'm not going to come police you, but like you don't need to for safety reasons for sure.
Yeah, you don't need to for safety reasons. I do believe that, like how you said, like adding like a vinegar soak or doing like a rub down with a lime or a lemon, or like even like my mom likes to cook, like my mom likes to wash her salmon with a little bit of lemon juice and salt water. Like,
yeah.
It's a cultural thing. If you want to wash your chicken, wash it. If you don't want to wash your chicken, don't.
Yeah, I'm over policing any food safety in anybody's, you know, kitchens. Like, it's something that's affecting you and the people you're cooking for, which hopefully, if you're running, like, a restaurant, that's something. But it's affecting you and the people you're cooking for. It's like, I don't know, put your energy into the people driving Teslas who are speeding on the freeway. They could hurt somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
Screw them.
Sure.
Nicole, I used to play the game if somebody, there was a real a-hole driver, and I saw them being an a-hole, I'd be like, ooh, it's probably a BMW. Now, Tesla. Tesla has taken over BMW as the biggest a-holes on the road, and I'm fascinated by it.
I think the new Broncos are all a-holes because I want them. I want one, and I want to be that a-hole.
It's like watching the old H2s.
Oh my God. Yeah. What even was that car? JoJo_girl1991 says peanut butter, pickles, sweet onions, and honey make the best snack sandwich.
Depends on the pickle.
I would. The honey, I don't need. The peanut butter, pickle, onion, go for it. The honey, it's too much.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It depends on the pickle, Nicole. But imagine the honey with a sweet bread and butter pickle. Now that changes the profile of the sandwich.
Hear me out. Instead of adding honey, why don't they put the sandwich on a honey wheat bread?
Oh, but I like the wet.
Cha-ching!
There's a couple factors here.
Honey's not wet. Honey is sticky. Sticky and wet are two different sensations.
No, but honey can, I think it can make things wet. Like, you ever put honey on a banana and peanut butter sandwich, and the honey, I think the sugar. Okay, so you know you macerate fruit?
Sure.
Right? So, like, I think the honey literally acts as a maceration agent, and it draws out the moisture of certain things, so it can get wet. So you put honey on the onions. Yeah, but
are you going to refrigerate your sandwich for, like, 24 hours, or are you just going to eat it?
It don't take 24 hours. 10 minutes. 10 minutes top, you're gonna dry out some of the
onion
juice.
There is no way honey leaches out moisture the way that... Sugar has those rough crystals. It has an abrasive quality to it, which adds to the maceration. You're just lying right now. I'm not lying.
I'm saying JoJo Girl 1991 did not give us enough information to be able to accurately judge her sandwich. I need to know a couple things. I need to know how wet are your onions. I need to know what kinds of pickles.
They're Vidalia onions. They're sweet Vidalia onions.
Are you soaking them in ice water? Because you should be. You're eating raw onions.
Of course she's not. Who does?
I don't know. I soak all my onions in ice water.
Yeah, you do? Wow.
God
fancy.
Dang right I do.
All right, next.
Well, that settles that. At Kennedy McDuff. Whoa, hold on. Wedge salads are annoying. Please cut up my lettuce for me. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're a child and you need all your food cut up for me. I'm sorry that you can't handle a big old brick iceberg lettuce, that it's too tough. And if you have a disability or something like arthritis, then I'm very sorry. And I feel like a huge a-hole for saying that.
I kind of like wedge salads, but, like, you know, I don't like the idea of picking it. I like the idea. Wait, hold on. I like wedge salads a lot, but I have the strongest urge to just pick up the wedge and eat it. Like, I don't want to use a fork and knife.
You don't have to.
Yeah, I do. I'm a lady.
Nicole, I ate three fried eggs with my hands this morning, right before this podcast.
Were the yolks runny?
Yeah, I put the yolk ups in my mouth and I bit a hole in it like a soup dumpling and I went,
and then I just ate the eggs. You sick man. what are you talking about?
So you're talking to the wrong guy if you think you can't eat a wedge salad with your hands.
All I want to do is pick up the wedge and I just want to go, honk. Like, I just want to do that, but, like, I can't because of social disparity.
That is my male privilege that I'm allowed to eat wedge salads with my hands, Nicole.
Sometimes I eat sushi with my hands at restaurants and people look at me this sideways and I'm like, look away, ugly. Like, let me eat my sushi. I like eating sushi with my hands. Do you eat sushi with your hands, right?
Yeah, all the time. I love going to the Kura revolving sushi bar.
The one I give you a coupon for?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we need to explain this. Nicole is like, this is a while ago. Nicole is like, hey, David and I are going to Kura Revolving Sushi. That's where you sit down and there's a conveyor belt that brings around sushi and you grab it off and it's a very fun time. She goes, we have a coupon. And I was busy that night. And she goes, well, I'll send you the coupon. The coupon was for like $5 off on like a $100 bill.
No, it wasn't.
Like, what do you, you're using a 5% off coupon as like an excuse to go, like, I don't know.
That $5 is a coffee the next morning.
That's fair.
Gosh darn it. You need to learn budgeting, man.
Yeah, going to sushi isn't part of the, but I don't know. Anyways, Adam, I love eating sushi with my hands.
Adam is awkward 69. You should never mix breakfast cereals unless they both have similar texture and flavor. Yeah, I never mix my cereals.
Never.
Like, think about Kashi Golin and like Honey Chex. Ew.
Well, that's why he said similar textures and flavors, because that's like I fully agree. Like, if you were to mix grape nuts with Fruity Pebbles, that would suck, because one of them is going to get soggy after 2 minutes, and the other is going to be indestructible for forever. Okay. But say you take like an Apple Jack and a Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and you put those in the same bowl, and those are sogging at the same rate. They have complementary flavors, cinnamon and apple.
No,
that's a nice time for me.
No,
I consider myself like a sommelier, a cereal sommelier.
Kicks and tricks.
Yeah, kicks
round.
And tricks.
Kicks and tricks?
Kicks and tricks would work, but you're just diluting the fruit flavor. All you're saying is I wish I had less fruity tricks.
I love kicks. I like, you know what my issue is? I just like, you know, cereal is like a grain. Like, I just like single grain cereals. You know, like people are like,
single origin.
Oh,
hand like harvested.
Yeah, like I like single origin, like vanilla pods or something. And I'm like, you're like, give me some single origin cereals.
I want like some millet in a bowl with almond beverage.
I swear on my life. Like, I'm one of those people, like, I'm not a sugary cereal person. I'm just not. But damn, I love me some grape nuts. I love me some Rice Chex. I love me some Kix.
Do you know what a grape nut is? We talk about it all the time. I don't know what a grape nut is.
I have it in my pantry. You want me to go see?
Yeah, Nicole, I'll do the next one. Go run and grab grape nuts and read me the ingredients.
Really? You want me to run?
Yeah, Nicole, actually run.
Wait.
Okay. I'll take the next one. Okay, here we go. Essentially dot shell. Gum is just a fidget spinner for your mouth. I agree. Also, I hate gum because I have a lot of expensive dental work. Not like cosmetic expensive dental work, like I'm not getting a diamond encrusted grill, but I'm saying I got a lot of root canals and crowns that I don't want to be pulled out with gum. Also, I don't consider gum a form of food because you're not supposed to swallow it and it is not. Okay, Nicole's back. I can stop stalling.
I agree. I heard everything you said, and high key gum sucks, but I love gum. Also, I'm one of those people who chews gum, and like I'm like a open mouth anxiety gum chewer, and everyone looks at me and they're like, you need to stop chewing gum like that. Okay, grape nuts.
What's a grape nut?
I actually ran. Whole grain wheat flour, malted barley flour, salt, dried yeast.
But what do you mean dried yeast? What are they? They're not leavening the grape nut. What do they do?
I think that's just Josh, I have oat milk and grape nuts right next to me.
Oh, you got a party in your mouth, Nicole. Oat milk and grape nuts.
Should I pour myself a mouth bowl of cereal? I don't care.
There had to be a more palatable way to combine those ingredients than what grape nuts did.
Well,
they
I just, love
it's
grape
like
nuts.
They mash it into a brick and then throw it against a wall and that shatters into the grape nuts. Is that what they do?
I don't know, but I'm about to find out.
Nicole is pouring herself a mouth bowl of cereal.
It definitely
ladies and gentlemen.
Does. It definitely smells like, you know, smells yeasty. It really does.
Why the yeast?
I don't know.
This
but
is probably like a, grape nuts were definitely like a cure for sexual urges because that's what all cereals were based on my research. Yeah, Nicole has made a mouth bowl of cereal. That is where she pulled the cereal on her tongue and then poured oat beverage on top of it.
That's good.
And she's got a little bit of an oat beverage mustache right now. God.
Is it gone?
Yeah, you're good. You're good. You're good.
Okay. Jerilee says, crushed up instant ramen noodles in a salad is much better than croutons or wonton strips. Didn't you do this one time, bro?
Yeah, dude. Ramen salad's a big Midwest thing, but I got called out. I got called the F out, Nicole, because I didn't fry my dried ramen noodles first.
Oh.
Apparently that's the thing you're supposed to do, but no, it's nice. They kind of soak up the liquid because instant ramen is already boiled and then dehydrated. It kind of weakens up those structures, so it's not like you're just eating raw pasta there. Okay. And it's nice. It soaks up the dressing nice, becomes nice and crunchy. Although croutons to me are just like pretty undefeated.
I like croutons. You know what I really like in my salads? Have you ever seen those Parmesan crisps? Not the ones that are just Parmesan. Not the ones that are just Parmesan. But the actual, like, long piece of, like, thinned out dehydrated bread that has the Parmesan cheese on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The fancy ones. You know, the ones I'm talking... Those are, like, rich people foods.
Well, I make those, but at home.
What?
I do those at home, Nicole. I take my leftover bread. I did this recently. I took all my leftover bread and I sliced it very, very thin. And I put pecorino on it and then some herbs and stuff. And then I toasted that at like 275 for like 2 hours. You don't need to go hot. You got to go low and slow so all the moisture leaves the system. Then
makes
it gets
sense.
Just super crusty and crunchy. You know, break it up into almost like breadcrumbs. That's it. What a delight.
What a delight. That sounds delicious.
All right. Here we go. At Cremon 00, crinkle cut fries are the worst form of potato. I don't enjoy them, but the worst form of potato is and always will be mashed. Mashed potatoes,
shut
especially chunky ones.
Up.
Nicole, don't test me.
Shut
Do not
up.
Test me.
Shut up. What are you saying?
It's baby food. It's baby food. And I know something about baby food.
What do you know? Just because you beat a world record, you think you know so much about baby food? No! You know what you're talking about, old man. I don't like tater tots. Fight me.
That's wild. That's wild to not like tater tot.
No, it's not. It's not that wild. People.
What's
always
bad about tater tots? It's perfect.
It's dry. Tater tots are dry. They're unenjoyable.
Bad tater tots. Bad tater. You're talking about like school.
Oh, you mean to tell
tots.
Me every single tater tot I've ever had in my life is
I'm
bad?
Not saying
no.
I'm not saying every single tater tot, but I'm saying that like a well-made tater tot should be, we should be judging.
What
I'm judging
a well-made
even the,
tater
even
tot?
The best. Even I've homemade tater tots. I homemade tater tots.
Yeah,
they're
because
nice.
You're bored with your life. I don't have that kind of time and energy, bro. What the frick?
Yeah, that's true. Nicole has friends. She'll be like, I went out this weekend and did a fun thing. And I'm like, I made a stew from the 9th century that I found in an evil cookbook. And she's like, cool.
Hey,
see
you know
ya.
What you could do, Josh? You could always invite people to come taste your 9th century stew. And that's how you make friends.
Yeah, well, no, I already got a friend. His name's Deep. He ate the stew.
Okay, but different ones?
I don't like think so, because I like Deep, because Deep came over and we watched college football and drank a bunch of beers and ate a stew.
Uh-huh. You act like
I'm happy with my life.
People, Nicole, you act like other people would have liked that.
Stop trying to change me. Stop
I'm
trying
not,
to change
I'm trying
me.
To make
I got
you
Deep,
more social.
And I'm good.
Okay, fine.
And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or Enhedizadeh with hashtag Opinion Casserole.
And if you want to follow my best friend Deep, that's at DIPSET21. His profile picture is of an Indian American basketball player named Sim Bular. And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen. Or what was Deep's Instagram?
Oh, that's at Dipset21. It was a little high school basketball nickname. All right, we'll see you next time.